What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com. This is the NXT AEW review, Sean Ross Sapp edition. God, I love pro wrestling, guys. I really do. This night was full of awesome pro wrestling. I'm going to start with NXT because I want to close with AEW. And that's just because it featured one of the best things I've ever seen of its kind. And that is no shot at NXT, because I really enjoyed NXT tonight. Let's talk about starting with Shotzi Blackheart and Io Shirai. I get to watch these shows from my couch now. So if you see me tweeting, I'm tweeting from my phone. I got a new phone a couple weeks ago, and obviously I have never typed Shotzi Blackheart on it before, because I complimented this match and my phone auto-corrected Shotzi Blackheart to Shotgun Blackbeard. And somebody said that sounded like something from Fire Pro. It sounds like one of the fake names that like WCW versus the World on PS1 would have given to one of the other American stars that they didn't have the license to. Oh, this is so good. This was Shotzi Blackheart's coming out party for a lot of people. For a lot of people, it was probably the Evolve match that aired on the network. And for a lot of people, it happened before. But this was just amazing. Incredible work all around. While I don't necessarily enjoy the character work of Shotzi Blackheart that much, I enjoy the tank, I enjoy the getup, the hair, the look, all that stuff. And the in-ring work is just awesome. That top rope Frankensteiner was great. She has a beautiful dragon suplex. Io did that German on the apron. That moonsault at the end was gnarly, bro. That was gross. I hope that Shotzi's okay. That was shades of Kurt Angle and Hardcore Holly when Hardcore Holly broke his arm. And that's what I fear every single time I see a moonsault like that. You can't really say that Io Shirai is reckless or anything like that. Stuff just happens. And stuff happened in this match, but mostly it was good stuff. These two ladies absolutely killed it. This match ruled. I loved it. Tommaso Ciampa defeated Desmond Troy, who I think is Denzel Desjardins. Destroyed him. Willow's Bell and the pin. He goes to attack Troy after the match, but Jake Atlas interrupts him. And I thought that Jake Atlas cut a really good promo here. Jake Atlas came out there with a lot of fire. He ain't winning that match. But it was a really good promo, and really the first we've got to see of him like that. Outside, we see Tommaso Ciampa attack Jake Atlas, and Kyle O'Reilly actually runs him off, runs Tommaso Ciampa off, which I loved. And Kyle O'Reilly, it was like doing that begrudging thing, like, hey, you got a match next week. Why do it here? And then he asked Jake Atlas if he was okay, and he goes, yeah, and he goes, cool, get up. I thought that was really cool. Kushida, he's giving Austin Theory some of that sustained punishment, really breaking down the arm of Austin Theory, and I love this kind of work. I cannot wait to see Kushida and Timothy Thatcher at some point. Probably good that Austin Theory is losing. He can afford it if he ever wants to make a career out of wrestling after everything that has kind of unfolded and the stuff that I don't even want to say weathered. The place he is right now, he's going to take these lumps and try to get better from it. Hoverboard Lock gets the win, and he holds on to it for quite a while, does Kushida. I want to see angry Kushida get pushed up the card. That's what I want. We got a promo from Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae. They announced that there is a women's battle royal for a shot at Io Shirai at NXT TakeOver. By the way, big problem with tonight's match with Io Shirai and Shotzi Blackheart. It wasn't for the title. There's no reason for it not to be for the title, especially if Io wins. That's just dumb. I'm all for a battle royal next week, but battle royals, I like them. Women's battle royals, it's pretty formulaic. Somebody gets put up on the top rope, knocked off. They get flipped over under the apron and knocked off. Just some biological hurdles that they have to overcome there, because by and large, they're not as tall as the men. It's harder to get people over the ropes. So I hope that like there's something that is figured out, or maybe a trial set up to where they can make it easier. Because I think that women are capable of some more interesting spots that we haven't seen out of the men, basically with some alterations. So I just want that formula to change a little bit. NXT goes to that, it feels like, once a year. And I'm sure they'll have a good battle royal. But gosh, it feels like they do it pretty often. We also see Tegan Knox cutting a bit of a promo about that. Breezango retained the NXT tag titles by defeating Imperium. The amount in which I care about Breezango has just shot through the roof since they've won the tag titles. And they needed it, in my opinion. They were just there for a long time. They are having killer matches right now. And Imperium was a good dance partner. NXT's got to get some teams. And we saw Undisputed Era take on Drake Maverick and Killian Dane a little bit later. But they got to have some teams to support this cast. Unless they're planning on combining the titles all across every brand. But I don't want to see that happen. I want to see a healthy tag team division, and I'll talk more about that later with AEW. But this was a healthy match. This was a great match. Breezango just killing it. A month and a half ago, whenever it was before they won the titles, I could not care about them. You couldn't force me to care about them. This was good. Breezango got the win, and they continue, I don't want to say make me eat my own words, but they changed their perception of me. The booking, the execution, all that. I mean, they could always go in the ring. Fandango's always been a funny guy. Tyler Breeze has always been a likable guy. But it was a matter of putting them in a position to where I could get mentally and emotionally invested in their matches. And that's where they are now. So kudos to NXT and more so Breezango for getting the job done in the ring. Jesse Kamea and Xia Li got beat by Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter. I like the idea of the finish. There was a super kick into a crucifix, and then Casey did a pump kick. It could be a little bit smoother. Casey then rolls up with a jackknife. I like it. I like the idea of it. But the execution, a little bit off. But Caden Carter, I think, I'm telling you, Caden Carter is going to be one of those people that gets called up to Raw or SmackDown and becomes one of those people that just fits with everybody and works with everybody. Undisputed Era take on Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. So I've got some mixed feelings about this. I like Drake Maverick and Killian Dane as a team. Dane does not show up for the match, and William Regal scolds him for it backstage. I like that William Regal does that. It's not overwhelming. But Drake Maverick against the Undisputed Era, one of the greatest teams in the last 20 years, quite frankly, and the best in NXT history, should not have lasted that long. Now, I will say Barrett did a good job covering it up, saying, oh, they're just playing with him. Even then, they shouldn't have required a chair for the DQ. Dane came out and told Drake to take his loss like a man, but then he got a little bit upset at Undisputed Era, and they have to hit him with a chair. That's fine, they'll just run it back, but it's another situation where you see NXT a little bit being booked like Raw Lite, and I don't like that. At least there's some story development with Killian Dane and Drake Maverick, and you got Undisputed Era doing something. It could be a lot worse. As far as gripes go, this is very low on the totem pole. William Regal with that gigantic announcement. He says that five men will compete in a match called the Gauntlet Eliminator, where the winner will face Finn Balor for the NXT title at TakeOver. Cool. Give me something with stakes. I'm all for it. Speaking of stakes, NXT North American Championship. I love watching Damian Priest and Timothy Thatcher work, man. Damian Priest is in such ridiculous shape. If you guys would have seen him years ago, you wouldn't believe that it's him. He is so good. Timothy Thatcher is that great blend of ground and catch-as-catch-can wrestling, but he's not afraid to go into high spots because that's somebody else's style. He doesn't, like, avoid doing what other people do. Like, if he needs to take, like, a somersault suplex off the top rope, he'll do it because that's a situation that he's gotten himself in. But he wouldn't be the one throwing that move because that's not him, if that makes any sense. There are little things that Timothy Thatcher does. Like when he's got like a basic armbar on, he'll take his hand and cover up the mouth of Damian Priest. that's a throwback a lot to a lot of older days of MMA, especially before the technique really, really advanced and transitioned out of so many different styles and spots. And then there are little things like when Timothy Thatcher grabs a single leg takedown, which is pretty self-explanatory, right? But he does a little thing that like you're taught in the first week of MMA training or wrestling training, where you go high on the leg, you pinch their leg with your knees, then you turn and pivot to drag them down. And it adds that element of realism, and it adds that element of just legitimacy to it. And then you got Damian Priest, who's going in there and slugging it out with a dude who looks so awesome. And his punches look so good. Everything Damian Priest does looks so good. And he looks so cool doing it. That's the Damian Priest I want to see. I don't mind seeing super babyface Damian Priest sell moves to Timothy Thatcher. No disrespect to Cameron Grimes, but that should have been a feud that Damian Priest dominated in short order. And I think there's a great place for Cameron Grimes in NXT. I just thought his place there was to make Damian Priest look like $1 million over and over again. Because Cameron Grimes and his character type and his skill level and his skill set would have been completely fine overcoming that. This was awesome. And this was a great way to finish the show. To me, I think the best wrestling shows, especially these two-hour shows, are ones where you have major things sandwiching the show. You have something big at the beginning, Io Shirai and Shotzi Blackheart. You have something big at the end. You got Damian Priest and Timothy Thatcher for a title. And then in the middle, you've got some other stuff, some supplemental stuff. You got a couple of announcements here and there peppered throughout the show. You got some decent wrestling. You got some storyline advancement. You had a title match, a great title match. So I thought that they did really, really good on this NXT. Pretty good episode that I would have been just overjoyed with if that was all that I watched tonight. But AEW Dynamite happened. And boy, did it happen. The Young Bucks hit the ring before the opening match, hit the ref with a double super kick, and they give a wad of money to Tony Khan, who's there in like shorts and a t-shirt, dressed like me recording this podcast, because, I mean, it's humid. It's crazy in Jacksonville. I like seeing this out of the Young Bucks. The Tony Khan thing felt really candid because he's very rarely been shown on TV. I mean, he's the face of the company to the media and to the fans and stuff like that, but this was a little bit different, and I really, really liked it. And it led into FTR versus Jurassic Express. I can't even go into breaking down this match. It was just amazing. It was just great. And there was great tag team wrestling all over this show. I'll mention this. I'll roll it all into one. Jake Hager and Chris Jericho against Private Party. These are the kind of guys that Private Party need to be working with. Jericho attacked Matt Hardy before this match backstage, and it took him out. You had Jake Hager and Chris Jericho winning, which was a great showing. You had FTR winning with an illegal roll-up. And these weren't even your main event matches. It was the supplemental tag team wrestling that shows you how much that AEW cares about their tag team wrestling. Now, the opening match was not a title match. I wish it would have been. To me, if the champions are wrestling on the show, go ahead and have them defend the title. I used to like when like Bret Hart would defend the title on WWF Mania on Saturday mornings against Buddy Landell. I'm sure a lot of you don't remember that. I'm sure a lot of you don't remember him defending it against Buddy Landell, who had only been in the company to get beaten up. I do. I remember him beating Virgil on Superstars. And I think it was that same night he actually filmed a Saturday night's main event where he beat Papa Shango in like 7-8 minutes. So sometimes you have those people that I probably shouldn't get a title shot, but do. The Buddy Landell one sticks out to me because it was just so random. I watched WWF Mania all the time, and then wait, he's getting a title shot? This is not the situation the Lucha or the Jurassic Express are in. They are a very viable, acceptable tag team. But I just think that they should have been in that title shot situation. FTR shouldn't have, like, cowered away or anything. They should have been like, yeah, bring it on. We want to give you a title shot because that's what we are and we care. Really like that. Hangman Page and Kazarian. Good stuff. You could argue that Kazarian and Page shouldn't have went this long if you're going to build Page as a single star. But Page is going to be a single star regardless. And this does nothing but make Kazarian look good. Kazarian is a veteran. You had Omega on commentary. And I liked it. Like, he was complimentary, but would try to distance himself from Hangman Page. And I thought that was a nice touch. And Hangman Page continues to be great. Another thing that I like so much about this tag team division is, quite frankly, FTR have been walking the walk after talking that talk for 2 years. They left WWE because they wanted a better tag team division. Now they're in a place that has one of the deepest tag team divisions of all time. And not only are they thriving, the division is as hot as ever. And the division just lost the previous champions. The team that helped make that tag team division, Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, two of the biggest single stars in the company already now, gone from that division, and you don't even bat an eye. You don't even think anything of it. It's just like, oh, okay, well, they're going to go on and do their feud, but look how good this tag team division is still. They slid Jericho and Hager right in there. Now, from an in-ring perspective, Jericho and Hager ain't going to match Hangman and Omega. But you've got a marquee name in Chris Jericho, a guy who has been a world champion for a long time for them, moving right in there, showing you how important it is. Love it. Page ends up winning. MJF beats Sean Dean real quick. After the match, he says that he's an honest man, says that Moxley is dishonest, says that Moxley cheated, and he sort of opens up the bidding for him to join a stable. Isn't sure what's going to happen, but says he might join a faction because there's been a lot of them around there. Speaking of, Eddie Kingston has Butcher and the Blade and Lucha Brothers out there. They are on the same page. They beat up a bunch of fans. And he tells Blade to get his house in order, meaning Allie. So, yeah, I thought this was pretty good. This was an interesting situation. After this segment, former NBA player Michael Thompson, who many of you might be too young to even remember, he played from like 78 to like 91, 92, had some really, really good seasons with the Blazers and tied up his career with the Lakers. Won a couple of rings there too, was an integral part of their team. Coming off the bench, he'd play about 25 minutes a game. But a very important part of those teams, said Eddie Kingston was as good on the mic as The Rock and kind of trashed WWE and said, who do they have? MVP? Okay, one person. AEW has a lot of good trash talkers. It's cool to see people tweeting about AEW. Like that's pretty cool, man. We saw Technique talk with Taz, and this is one of my favorite. Technique by Taz. He looks at Ricky Stark's finish, and I love that he pointed out the different grips. And this finish is what I used to do, like, with my little action figures when I was a kid. And even, like, when I would play wrestle, like, with the wrestling buddies and stuff, I would do that. I'd do the double underhook grip. So I love that. And he played it, or he explained why Ricky Stark's spear was so effective and how it set up his finish. Man, Ricky Stark's is going to be so good. I like this, because it's a great way to keep somebody like that on TV without having them on TV. Speaking of, Lance Archer, Jake Roberts are in the ring. He invites Team Taz out, he being Roberts. And he says the members of Team Taz are excited to do business with him. And after they take care of Moxley, Archer will give Cage a title shot. They all agree. And Moxley shows up and says that they're going to have a match next week. He's bringing Will Hobbs with him. He's bringing Darby Allin with him. I thought this was cool. I really did think that if you had the Ricky Starks technique talk, you didn't have to have him on the TV show this week, though. Such is life. Miro's backstage talking Twitch with Penelope Ford and Kip Sabian. Good way to get him on TV too, I guess, but they're getting ready for the bachelor party. I don't know where this is going, but I guess we'll see. Thus far, I have been less than blown away with Miro's first two appearances. I'm sure I will be in the future. He's amazing. He's a great talent. But, yeah. Thunder Rosa and Ivelisse, NWA Championship. Now, I had heard some things ahead of this match, and I was told, maybe expect it to be edited, maybe expect this, maybe expect that. They beat the crap out of each other. Just legitimately, they beat the crap out of each other in this match. They were slugging it out. And Thunder Rosa is very well liked among those that I speak to in AEW. The strikes in this match were awesome. I adored this match. There were only a couple of little qualms. There were a couple of times, like on roll throughs and corner spots, where it seemed like they would wait like a half a second, maybe a second too long, and then go into the spot where if you were in a real fight, you would have reacted a little bit quicker than that. But that's, again, a minor complaint because this match was real good. Ivelisse has got to keep having matches like this, but those questions always surround. Those questions are always there. They got to do whatever they can to get Thunder Rosa and get her under contract. She is super committed to the NWA. And I mean that. She is super committed to the NWA. That is a major priority for her. And I admire that. She's been everywhere. Stardom, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, Women of Wrestling, NWA, now AEW. She has been everywhere. And I admire the fact that she is loyal to this place, even though there have been plenty of situations in which would give her plenty of reason to not be. So I admire the fact that she's willing to do that and go above and beyond to carry that torch. Good for her. Good for her. A lot of respect to her for that. And a lot of respect to her for giving it back to Ivelisse, a person who is trained in MMA, was thinking about taking fights. And she gave it back to Ivelisse. I mean, I just like that style of wrestling, but whoo boy, that was something. I'm going to try to find out some more about that, but yeah. Let's talk about this parking lot brawl. This was probably the best match without a ring I've ever seen. Maybe I'm overlooking something. Best Friends, Santana and Ortiz. There's so many great spots in this match with the vehicles, especially like the sledgehammer throw. Such a cool spot. Short pile drivers on the car hood. I can't remember if it was Santana or Ortiz, but they would open a trunk, put him underneath the trunk, then do sentons onto the trunk or the hood rather, not the trunk, the hood. So cool. So cool. Spots through doors, just breaking windows by slamming them through. This was an unbelievably just effective match. Not for a title. Not for top contendership. It's because these guys disrespected Trent's mom. And as ridiculous as that is, and I was like, oh boy, how will this go? It's an all-time classic AEW moment now. People will always remember this. This is worthy of all the positive praise that it receives. These guys just showed up and killed it. And killed each other. Just destroyed each other. Unbelievable action. There's a very, very high bar to reach in this type of match if they do it anytime in the future. Like any type of outside the ring match, man. And I mean, Stadium Stampede would have been up there, but they had a ring for that as well. So it wasn't exactly a non-ring match. This one was, I can't think of one that I enjoyed more. I just constantly, I kept finding myself saying, man, this is awesome. This rules. This is so cool. This is so good. Jim Ross calling it the best street fight that he has ever called, and I believe him. That was special. If you watched AEW Dynamite, you saw something very special. Tony Khan was clearly excited about this. He said it was all in one take outside of an edit to get rid of the F word. He brought up Jim Ross calling it the best street fight he's ever done. There were no commercials for this. He said it was going to be nuts, and it was. He thanked Best Friends and Santana and Ortiz for one of the best matches they ever had on Dynamite. And the close, Best Friends leaving after Orange Cassidy popped out of a trunk and used a chain to hit an orange punch and set up the finish. They all got in Sue's van, and she waved, and she flipped them off. She flipped off Santana and Ortiz. What an awesome finish to that match. Awesome finish to that show. Maybe a finish to that feud. I hope so. That should be the blow-off. Amazing. We have some upcoming matches announced, too. I like to go over those on these as well. But I was just so taken aback, blown away by the quality of entertainment and wrestling that we got tonight. Over on NXT, they announced there will be a Gauntlet Eliminator match to determine the top contender for Finn Balor at NXT TakeOver. Two men will start in the ring. Every 4 minutes, another competitor will enter. You are eliminated via pinfall or submission. Last man standing is named number one contender. I like this match idea. It sounds a lot of fun. Also, a battle royal for a title shot at TakeOver. You got Casey Catanzaro. You got Indy Hartwell, Aaliyah, Dakota Kai, Candice LeRae, Tegan Knox, Shotzi Blackheart, Xia Li, Raquel Gonzalez, Caden Carter, and Rhea Ripley. Then you got Tommaso Ciampa and Jake Atlas. So you got two pretty important matches. Then you got like a supplemental Tommaso Ciampa, Jake Atlas match. Pretty cool. Then next week, we have a TNT championship match. Brody Lee defends against Orange Cassidy. You have Hikaru Shida and Thunder Rosa against Diamante and Ivelisse. Diamante and Hikaru Shida got involved after the match between Thunder Rosa and Ivelisse. So I'd keep my eye on how much Thunder Rosa and Ivelisse work together. Yeah, I'd do that. You also got Moxley, Will Hobbs, and Darby Allin against Brian Cage, Ricky Starks, and Lance Archer. Very excited for that. There's also a one-hour Tuesday Dynamite that is Scorpio Sky versus Ben Carter, Brandy versus Anna Jay, Matt Sydal against Sean Spears, and Chris Jericho in commentary. We'll have coverage, I'm sure. Until next time, guys, we're out.